episode of Locked On Suns, a Locked On Podcast Network. Today's always your host, Evan Sidery. I'm joined by a very special guest of today's show, Zach Milner of The Step. And we've been planning the show for a little bit here, talking maybe about the NBA draft, but what a game that was last night, Zach. You're on today as my co-host to talk through the game, but also give us some more Orlando thoughts and observations you've seen from the Suns. But what a thriller that game was last night, arguably maybe the Suns' biggest win of the year in the circumstance they came back from. 117-115 was the final score of this one, as the Suns are now 2-0 in the Orlando bubble. Zach, what was your biggest takeaway from that game last night, watching the Suns? Really, it seemed like they were knocking on death's door, so to say, in the second half, but then all of a sudden, the bench unit kind of blows it open there suddenly, and now the Suns are somehow, some way, 2-0 in the Orlando bubble.
Yeah, I thought my biggest takeaway is just, it's looking upwards for the Suns, just to be able to win that kind of ugly game with not all, like, with Ayton not having the best game, just being able to win those kind of games and getting contributions from someone like Cam Johnson, is good for a team like the Suns.
Yeah, definitely agree with you there. And how we usually go about doing this, Zach, I'm going to give you some of my free throws, and then in our next one, I'll go maybe through some negative observation notes, then close with some stats to watch. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, go through some more general thoughts you had and wanted to lay out to our listeners here about what you've seen from the Suns so far down in Orlando, where it'd be the scrimmage games or the two regular season games so far. But since you are with the Steppy, and I wanted to hit on arguably the guy you pined the most for last year as far as Suns Twitter goes, and that was Cam Johnson. That pick and that scout report you wrote up over on the Steppy end is looking more and more right, Zach, because the way he's able to play and just be so smart out there, 19 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 of 8 from 3, 6-11 from the field overall. He seems like he's really thriving now, Zach, in this kind of small ball 4 role.
Yeah, I mean, and especially after last night, there's no better time to talk about him. I think I've talked about him several times on this podcast already now, and he was, yeah, my favorite prospect last year. And in the game yesterday, I mean, it's great how much the team trusts him to shoot. I still think he could be getting up more threes a game, and I think that he hasn't been used off movement as much as I'd like him to. And he also, when he has been, he actually hasn't even been as good as I think he can be. But just Devin Booker, like, the perfect thing is with the Booker or Rubio pick and roll with DeAndre Ayton, with his roll gravity, you have Cam Johnson just sitting in the corner. It's pretty much unstoppable. You have throw the lob, you have a pull up from mid range with Booker, or you have the skip pass to the other corner for Cam. So just, there's just so much to like with Cam. I know that he dealt with some injuries this year, but like I said before, he's probably the closest thing you can get to an elite shooter in the draft. And he's already been a 40% shooter his rookie year on pretty decent volume.
Yeah, with Cam Johnson, too, over this Orlando bubble experience so far, whether it be in the scrimmages and the two regular season games, he really is kind of showing his confidence. He's actually holding up very well defensively. He had a couple possessions against Luka last night where he more than held his own on that end. Has so far through this regular season and really since this Orlando bubble experience has started, Zach, I know it's a really different environment to be in, but has Cam Johnson exceeded your expectations so far in his rookie year?
I think that's a tough question for me because I had such high expectations for him originally. So he's been pretty much how I thought he'd be. I would say he probably has exceeded most other expectations, but I thought he was going to come in and be this great shooter right away. I was probably one of the highest on his defense. I knew strength was a little bit of a problem, but I thought his IQ was good. He had quick feet. And against Washington the other day, he had a few nice possessions against Rui as well. I mean, he has a size disadvantage there, but he actually had some good ones there. Luka yesterday, he did get pushed off by Luka a few times, but he set his feet with Luka. So, I wouldn't say he totally exceeded mine, but that's more because I had such high expectations for him, and I thought he was already a top 10, 15 guy in the class.
Last one on camera before Devin to my next free throw from this game where the Suns won 117-115 over the Dallas Mavericks. Do you think it's going to be hard for Monty Williams and his coaching staff, maybe even after another offseason of development after this bubble experience ends for the Suns team, where I think for me personally, it's going to be very hard to take Cam Johnson out of the starting lineup where he should be playing, I think, now around 30-plus minutes per game, played 40 minutes last night for the Suns team, really showed his value as a floor spacer and high IQ player. I think there's a really good chance, maybe if they do move Kelly Oubre this offseason, who knows, but I think Cam's kind of opening the door here and maybe breaking it down, so to say, where he's going to make it like Mikal Bridges was last year for the coaching staff, where I think it's going to be very hard to take him off the floor and have him play 30-plus minutes per game.
I agree. I mean, coming into the season, I thought that all of Bridges, Oubre, and Cam Johnson all had potential to be starting. And it's tough to start all of them. I mean, they could start all of them together, but like long-term, who knows if they're going to have all three or not. But all three of them are potential starters. So yeah, with how Cam Johnson has played at least these last two games where he's been starting at the four, Suns have won the games. He's playing well. He's gotten off to good first quarter starts in both of the games. It's going to be tough to bench him. And if they do bring Oubre back, or if Oubre's still on the team next year and Cam starts the season off the bench, I mean, as long as his minutes are up more than they were this year, I think he'll be fine still. But in long term, I think he's definitely a starter.
Moving on to another free throw from this segment, talking through the Suns' positives of an incredible comeback win over the Dallas Mavericks. Be remiss not to hit on Devin Booker here for a second, Zach, because 30 points, 4 assists, chipped in a steal, 10 of 20 from the field, 9 of 10 from the free throw line. Very efficient night from Booker after a very inefficient one against the Washington Wizards in the bubble opener. Only 31 minutes because Booker had so much foul trouble. Actually fouled out with a minute and 30 seconds left to go, and the Suns were able to hold off the Mavericks in the end after they got the last shot there. What was your impressions of Booker fighting through foul trouble throughout the night, Zach, and still being able to put up this kind of performance?
I thought he did a good job fighting through foul trouble and on the defensive end. Like, I think there are times where he has some questionable rotations or he loses his man on defense. I think it happened a couple times, but there are also times where he makes some like high IQ rotations, and I think he's probably a better defender than he's given credit for. I think it's actually shown a little bit more this year, and now the Suns are being more competitive. I know, I mean, wasn't yesterday, but earlier in the year against Houston, I think he had one or two like incredible possessions defending James Harden. Sure, Harden actually made like a step back three over him, but it's just good defense and like seeing the competitiveness out of him. And for him to just on the offense, like you said, put up 30 points, efficient, 50%, 9 for 10 from the free throw line, and just do that in like 31 minutes. I think what I like about him as well is over these last, I mean, it's been a while now, but people still don't give him the credit as how he's grown as a playmaker. I think it's been almost 2.5-3 years now where he's been a playmaker, in my opinion. But I really like him with the ball in his hands. And I like Point Book, to be honest. I'm really excited with him. Like I said earlier, with Cam Johnson in the corner, Ayton. I love also without even Cam Johnson, it's the Booker Ayton two-man game. It's just very effective.
Looking really quickly, just a general observation I want to make with a second, just talking about, like you mentioned, Booker and his playmaking ability and just the way the Suns team is playing, you know, like they're in playoff mode already. How valuable do you think this experience is going to be, even though the Suns still have less than a 1% chance of making this improbable run in the playoffs? They really have to go 8-0 and hope for some more luck after that. How important these 8 games, now 6 games later on after going 2-0 so far, is going to be for this team moving to 2020, 2021, because this sort of is like a pseudo playoff experience for this team.
Yeah, I think it's a great experience. I mean, it's unfortunate that the odds of making the playoffs are so low, but Phoenix has had a rough few years recently. They definitely showed how competitive they could be this year with when their players were healthy. They probably could use a little more depth, but the 6-7-man rotation that they would have was pretty good this year. And now having them fight against all like the top teams, I mean, there's still 22 teams in Orlando, so it's not like all the best teams, but them fighting against the top teams and not feeding on the lower ending teams is just going to make other teams take notice of how Phoenix is going to be in like the long run, how they're on the up and coming. And yeah, I mean, getting a win against Dallas with not even playing that well yesterday just shows that. And I think that's going to make them more, get more known around the NBA.
Yeah, and Monty Williams mentioned to us last night over the post-game Zoom call that this type of experience is exactly what they wanted in this bubble, because having that kind of comeback, being able to really fight through adversity, he mentioned this is a game that might build long-term momentum for this team, and looking down the road maybe a year or two, you might look back on this game where it kind of just like flipped the switch, so to say, for this young Suns team to kind of mature and be able to develop and become maybe a playoff threat come next season, Zach. But another positive from this game I wanted to hit on, because he was the leader in plus-minus. Very underrated game. I see him, feels like whenever he has a good game, it's always underrated, because you think about Booker, you think about Ayton, sometimes Bridges and Johnson, if Calibre plays, he's kind of going on the back burner a little bit. But Ricky Rubio, I think, was one of the most impressive players in the Suns last night. 20 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, controlled the floor on both ends. What was your impressions of Rubio in last night's game, where it seemed like when everyone was in foul trouble, especially Booker and Ayton, he kind of took over there and kind of helped calm the storm?
Yeah, I mean, Rubio's awesome. I loved the signing from the jump, because I knew that he would make them more competitive this year. But yeah, like you said, when people were in foul trouble, Rubio just took over. There was a time towards the end of the third, I think, or middle end of the third yesterday, where he was on the court with, I think it was Carter, Cam Johnson, Frank, and Campaign. And I was a little worried there. I think him and Bridges had a sub, so it was Bridges at first, then Rubio. I was a little worried there about the Suns, and they were able to stay in the game. I think it was like a 2-point game at the time, and they were able to hold it in until starters came back in and they were able to pull it out. But Rubio is just such an impactful player on offense. Sometimes the shot doesn't fall, and I can see how sometimes it can get frustrating, but just his playmaking and how much load he can carry, and when the shot is falling, his passing, he's a great player. And I think Phoenix getting him was definitely a very smart thing to do heading into this year, and it's probably a big reason why they were better than people expected as well.
Of course, Rubio still has 2 years left on his contract, Zach. He turns 30 years old in late October. It feels like to me, I don't know, but maybe it's just because he fits so well with the Suns roster, especially Booker, where he's able to maybe go off ball a little bit and be sort of just like a high IQ player who benefits off those type situations, helps set up guys like Johnson, Bridges, and Ayton often. But I feel like Rubio's a player, maybe, Zach, I don't know about you, who might age like fine wine, so to say. Like maybe the more he gets older, the more we see like he's a better shooter. He's done really well from three in Orlando so far, whether that be the scrimmage games or the two regular season games so far. What's your impressions of Rubio heading down the line the rest of his Suns contract? Because I feel like he's really kind of aging well, which is very surprising because I know Rubio's had injury history in the past, but I think as a player, he's really starting to fit into his role long-term very well with the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, Rubio's interesting because while I do think he's a really good player for the Suns, I'm not totally sure like long-term how I'd want him there. I think I've said it before. I do like Point Book more. And while, yeah, if Rubio does improve the shot, how he's been shooting recently, and he's had like half seasons where he's shot the ball well. But yeah, I think ideally next to Devin Booker, I probably still would rather have someone who can still like secondary create, but just be a more consistent shooter. But you can't really complain about Rubio. He raises the floor of so many teams so much, but once you're going for the ceiling, I do think that if you're looking at the Suns ceiling, it might be better to go another way, but for their floor or like even for next year when they're not going to be contending, like, yeah, Rubio's still the way to go, I think.
That's a very valid point to bring up there about Rubio. It's going to be interesting to watch him throughout the rest of the Suns contract because games like this make you just wonder how he fits into this puzzle piece long term. But last one on the positive end, Zach, before we go on to maybe a little bit, there really wasn't much negatives from this one, but maybe we'll talk a little bit about the foul trouble there on the Suns end. But what was your impression of the Suns bench last night where really the first game, I think, this whole season, Zach, where the bench actually won the Suns a game. They helped them come back. It's been a putrid bench unit all season for the Suns. But last night, you see Javon Carter plus 11. Campaign made some very incredible shots down the stretch. We know to create his own shot and set up others. Frank Kaminsky even gave you some really solid minutes in 9 minutes. And then Dario Saric, I think, is really embracing his six-man role right now, Zach. 13 points, 8 rebounds in only 22 minutes. What was your impressions of the second unit?
Yeah, like I said, there was a time in the game where I was a little bit worried where it was more bench than starters, but they pulled it through and the bench just came through this game. Like you said, Saric was really good. But I want to give a lot of credit to Campaign. I personally haven't been that impressed with him like when he was with OKC or Chicago or even when his summer league stints. But in Orlando, he's been good for Phoenix. Being able to handle the ball a little bit more. He's been able to knock down some shots. He has a nice pace to his game. He's quick. And yesterday, like you said, knocked down some timely threes. And also, I think just he had this one take to the basket in transition where he just burst it up the floor. So I think he's been really good for Phoenix these last two games from the bench. And it hurts for me to say that because I am a Ty Jerome fan, but I think Campaign has been helping them out more at this current time.
Maybe just sprinkle in a little bit of draft thoughts for a second, Zach. We're going to your next one because, of course, you do great stuff over the Step In, the number one draft site, at least that you should be on because they give you guys excellent content every time throughout draft season, really throughout the whole year here. But when you see a guy like Campaign give the Suns a spark off this bench as a creator, a player who can set up his own shot and also be able to set up others, it makes you kind of look ahead, Zach, to the draft where Kyra Lewis, Tyrese Halliburton, it seems like this is the kind of year where the Suns could really get that kind of guy on a long-term deal instead of like relying on a Campaign who might be a little inconsistent there.
Right. And I agree. One thing I will say about the Halliburton is I think he's not someone that you want having the ball at all times. I think he will in the NBA, he'll struggle if he's asked to create a lot. I think he's more of a connector where he's playing off the ball and you pass him the ball and he'll make the quick decision pass or he'll spot up and hit the threes or he'll make timely cuts and that kind of stuff. I sort of worry about Halliburton's ability to put pressure on the rim. He's a really good passer and in college he was a really good pick and roll player. But I think at the NBA, it's going to be a new thing when teams are daring him to score, they're going to ask him, okay, you have to finish over our length at the rim or you have to shoot off the dribble. which are two things that he's not that comfortable with. But someone like Kyer Lewis, who's just one, probably the quickest guy in the draft, that's something to look forward to when you see what kind of dynamic that campaign has brought to the bench right now. And then you go to the draft and you see someone like Kyer Lewis. Not saying that they're not the same player at all, but just seeing that definitely brings some thoughts to mind.
CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. And CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like Arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier, try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBD MD has to offer. They're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code MBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com and the promo code MBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBD MD, the best out there on the open market for CBD products. Yeah, this bench was very fun to watch last night. Like we talked about, really helped spark this team. They went on a 16-3 run in last night's game, which featured Ricky Rubio, Javon Carter, Mikhail Bridges, Cam Johnson, Frank Kaminsky on the floor for about 4 minutes. But then you see guys like Sharich and Payne give you really key minutes when they had to. But I wanted to hit really quick on the negatives from this game, Zach, because there really wasn't much to hit on that end, because the Suns really gave up a really perfect game in the second half of this one. It took a lot more three-point shots. Ended up with 33. They were 36% from the floor. Mavericks, of course, didn't get much shooting luck last night. 6 of 31. 0 of 8 from Tim Hardaway. Luka was 0 of 3 as well. What was your thoughts on the whistle, though? Because throughout the game last night, I know many on Suns Twitter were talking about this throughout the game, too, where maybe Luka was getting a little couple phantom calls here and there. Booker was getting the same treatment. You see in the first half there, Booker, Ayton especially, Mikhail Bridges, they all get into some significant foul trouble, and then you eventually see Booker foul out late in the game in a key moment. Ayton had 5 fouls early on in the third quarter. What was your impressions of the whistle last night?
With the whistle, they definitely was some questionable calls down the line and throughout the whole game. Sometimes when I'm watching, I try not to worry about the refs too often. I just watch the game. But, like, it does take away from the viewing experience as well when they're calling this many fouls. Like you said, Luka was getting some calls that Devin Booker wasn't getting, or Devin Booker got a couple bad foul calls that fouled him out of the game, which is just unfortunate, especially with the season coming down to the line with 7-8 games left and teams are fighting for the playoff spots. You can't really have that. Like Luka shot 19 free throws. But one thing I do want to say about foul trouble is I was sort of disappointed or upset with Ayton down the line. They were up 6 with 2 minutes left, and I think there was 2 possessions in a row. One time where he just let Luka get a right wide open layup instead of contesting it because he didn't want to get the 6th foul. But when you're up 6 with 2 minutes left, you just have to contest a shot at the rim and hope he misses it, because – you're just giving him a free 2 points. And I think another possession later, he just gets beat so easily. So I think it's a learning experience for Ayton. And I will say on the 20 seconds left, he actually did step over to help. That's something that I'm not sure if you noticed, but you have to contest a shot at the end of the game, even if you have 5 fouls, I think.
Yeah, definitely agree with you there, Zach. And Ayton was going to be my flagrant foul from this segment anyway. So I'm glad you brought him up, because he had 7 points, 8 rebounds, 3 of 8 from the field, 5 personal fouls as well in only 21 minutes last night. But the Mavs really kind of ran him off the court, so to say, going super small at points. Porzingis stretching the floor, being really a mismatch for Ayton too. Just a kind of a worst-case scenario game last night for Ayton, even though the Suns did survive that. What was your impressions overall? I know you mentioned the late-game moments for Ayton, but your overall thoughts on him kind of being out of rhythm the entire game last night?
Yeah, it was a rough game for him. He's been good to me recently, so I don't take too much away from it from a negative perspective, just that it just shows that there's more room to grow. There's room for consistency. And I mean, we all know that he's improved, but he's also willing to learn. So like I said, that last fouling at the end of the game, it's a learning experience, but I think we've seen him improve defensively, and he will learn that. Overall, yeah, I wasn't too happy with his shot selection yesterday. I think he could have been more dominant down low. And I think he settled for mid ranges a little, but yeah, those are my thoughts on yesterday. I wish I was happy to see him shoot the 3 again yesterday, though. I think throughout Orlando, seeing him shoot has been great. And I think it was encouraging that he actually made his first 3 attempts of the year, or in Orlando, because that just gave him the confidence to keep shooting them. I think I wonder if he would have shot them if he had missed the first couple in the scrimmages.
Yeah, that makes you think, too, because if Ayton is able to stretch the floor consistently for this team, take at least a couple of games, maybe 1 to 3 a game, I think it just changes the whole dynamic for the Suns team, where if you can hit that consistently, like a 33 the 35% clip next year. I think it's really going to help this team spread the floor more and get optimal spacing for others here. But I'm going to toss in my stat to watch them real quick here, Zach, because I know you want to talk through some general takeaways so far for the Suns in Orlando, hit on some players, and we're going to spend that all in the last segment here. But a quick stat to watch, I want to throw in for this segment before we go into that. I mention this all the time when the Suns have a really good game offensively, and it seems like that's been happening consistently down in Orlando. 45, 36, 91 shooting splits last night for the Suns team. I think against Washington, it was, I think, over 50, and then you had near 36 again and 90. A very efficient offense, and I just want to get your overall opinion, Zach, of Monty Williams' offense so far this year, and especially over the last few games in Orlando, because when the Suns are hitting on all cylinders there, this offense is really fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. I will say that I think I've mentioned before to you that I think that someone like Cam Johnson and even Ty Drum, who's not playing that much, but like I do think there could be some more off-ball movement for them. And I think Ayton was put in a little bit better positions last year than this year when it comes to like being effective down low. But overall, the Suns, I mean, Monty's done a good job with the team. That you can't really complain. The offense, one like you said, when they're clicking, they look like a really good offense. And something like you said with the stats to watch, I mean, two games in a row, just shooting over 90% from the free throw line, 21 from 23 yesterday, and 30 for 32 a few days ago. That's just really important for a team who's trying to win, who's trying to grow. Just knocking down your free throws, getting those points is very important.
Suns fans, you want to save money on your car? RockAuto.com is the place to go, because whether it's looking for a fuel pump assembly that will cost you $150 less than the other competitors, or it's getting yourself maybe a new tire, something else on your plate that you need to fix your car with, Rock Auto is always there, and it's the lowest possible prices out there compared to the rest of the competition. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 plus years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and price you prefer. And best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same professionals as do-it-yourselfers. So why spend the twice as much for the same parts and get even cheaper at RockAuto? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How to Your Boss box so they know Locked On Suns sent you.
Yeah, definitely agree with you there. I think the Suns now, after these few games, are the best at free throw shooting this year. I think they're above 83%, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's very good for the Suns team after the years of being so consistent. Again, those easy points of the charity stripe there. But we're going to move on into our final segment here with Zach Milner to step in. And I'll give you the floor here, Zach. We talked about Cam Johnson a little bit up top. Any other players you wanted to hit on here throughout the segment, talking through the Suns so far in Orlando through scrimmages, regular season games? I'll give you the floor here to start.
Yeah, I'll start with I will go to Ty Jerome to start off. Like I said, I do think there could be some more off-ball movement for him. So how he's been played throughout his first year, I was a big fan of him at Virginia, but this isn't how I envisioned him playing. I thought he was just more off-ball mover, coming off screens, reading the defense. If they're trailing him, he'll curl. He'll get into the lane for his really good floater, or he can pass it out. If they cheat the screen, he can fade to the corner or shoot the three. And yeah, I liked his pick and roll ability, and I thought he was like he can do a secondary pick and roll here and there, but I viewed him as more of an off ball player. And I think with Phoenix, he's been more of they've asked him to be the backup point guard when he has been the opportunity. And I don't think that's necessarily ideal for him. And then when he is on the floor, like I like to see him on the floor with Devin Booker or Ricky Rubio more often. I'm not sure if we'll get a chance to this year, but when he is on the floor with them, there's been a lot of standing around instead of ball movement. There's been a few times where I've seen the Suns run some off-screen stuff for Cam Johnson where you could just put Ty Jerome in that spot, or they've run floppy with Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges coming off. And I think just putting Ty Jerome in some of those opportunities will give him a better chance to succeed.
Yeah, and with Ty, I know we hit on this in the last segment a little bit, or in the first segment, talking through if the Suns see Cam Payne as a guy who can help spark this bench, or they go to the draft, maybe draft a Kyra Lewis, for example, or someone else in that lottery. How worried are you about Ty Jerome's sort of future role with this team already? Because we saw in the scrimmage games, he was starting for Rubio when he was out with COVID-19. Then by the end of the scrimmage game, he's already out of the rotation. We've seen so far in Orlando, he's completely at the end of the bench now for the Suns team. How worried are you as being a Ty Jerome guy? I agree with you at this time. I think Jerome fit really well into what I thought Monty Williams was going to do here, but it seems like just a quick plug, so to say, on Ty Jerome, where it seems like if he does make a couple mistakes, he's out of the rotation for a little bit. If they do go into the draft with a point guard on their mind, I just wonder where Ty Jerome fits here long term.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is some worry to see where he fits there long term, but I don't think picking a point guard would make me any more worried than I am now. Because like I said, I think he's more of an off-ball guy than the on-ball guy. So playing him next to a point guard is perfectly fine, in my opinion. It's more about just putting him in a position to succeed. So if they think he's a point guard and they draft a point guard and they're not still putting him off the ball, then yeah, I'll be worried. Or if they don't draft the point guard and they put him on the ball, then I'll be worried. But if they're putting him in a position to succeed, I'm not too worried, because I do think that he's was a truly really high IQ player with a really, really good shot. And he does lack athleticism, but just his IQ was able to make up for it on the offensive end at Virginia. And whether it's enough to make up for it at the NBA level is still to be determined, but we haven't really had the chance to see him use that with how he's been played so far.
Zach, I'll give you the floor back once more. What is next on your biggest takeaway list so far from the Suns down Orlando and these scrimmage and bubble games?
I think it's Mikal Bridges. I know he did struggle a little bit offensively yesterday. And I do think that while his defense, I mean, he came up with some really good blocks against Luka early on in the game. I do think that there was some times where he wasn't as good as he has been recently defensively. I think just him and Orlando in general has shown how impactful of a player he can be in the long run. I know his shot has been a little bit of a question these last couple of years after being a really good shooter at Villanova, but in December, the shot started to come around a little bit more. Percentages were looking better. And then as the year went on, the volume got a little better as well. But just his defense is just so impactful. And I've watched that. I made a video of him defending Tatum from the scrimmage like a week ago or two. And it was a 2-minute video. I think I've watched that myself just 10, 15 times just because of how great of a defender he is. And sometimes you don't find these defenders who have this big of an impact, but he's truly special as a defensive player, and he could be an all defensive guy in the NBA.
Yeah, and you see last night, Zach, when the shot wasn't falling, Mikal played 39 minutes. He had only had 4 points, 0-3 from 3, 2-9 from field overall, but he had 2 steals, 3 blocks, was a +5 anyways in this game where this offense wasn't falling like we saw in the scrimmage games and even against the Wizards in their first regular season game in the restart. I feel like you mentioned, Mikal is just so impactful. When he's in the shot's not even on, he's still so important to the Suns team. We saw in the scrimmage games him kind of really have the ultimate green light, so to say, and hopefully we see more of that later on these final 6 regular season games for the Suns. But what kind of sneak peek do you think the Suns saw now in those scrimmage games and really before the NBA went on hiatus, where a more aggressive Mikal on offense kind of opened things up for everyone around him?
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it before as well, where like him, the splits with him and without Oubre are interesting. And that sort of goes back to what we talked about earlier, where Oubre will fit or where Cam Johnson will fit with all of this. But I think that him showing some more offense and showing some more volume on that end, it's just promising for Phoenix. I mean, you want other players who can create here and there next to Devin Booker, because you see times it was the other day, I think it was Marcus Smart was denying – I think it was the Portland game, denying Dame the ball. And, I mean, Mikal and CJ are nothing alike, but just having – like, you're going to see when Marcus Smart's denying Dame the ball, you have to have someone on your team who can still get a bucket that's not your star. So just having other players who are able to do that's important.
Yeah, and you see as well with Mikal, just – I think I'm very excited about Mikal. I've been – ever since they drafted him, I've been super high on this guy and seeing the way he's progressed every year, just being so confident defensively. And if the offense kind of flips the switch, so to say, he's going to be one of the better 3-and-D wings in the NBA, in my opinion, in pretty short order. But real quickly on Mikal, just the defense, Zach, you hit on it in your part there on Mikal. I feel like next year could be the year where, after seeing how impressive he's been in the bubble so far on a national stage, where if he does well again next year and the Suns improve overall as a team, he could be on an All-NBA defense team.
Yeah, I would love to see him on the All-NBA defense team next year. Like I said, I think there's potential. I think I would probably bet on him being on one eventually. I'm not sure if it will happen next year or not, but eventually I'm pretty confident in him being there.
Moving on, Zach, through your Orlando takeaways so far, anything else you wanted to hit on through this list? I know we've gone through, like you mentioned, Cam Johnson, Ty Jerome, maybe his sort of future with this team, Mikal. What else is on the list here you want to hit on?
I think that's mostly everything. I will say, I think Saric has played pretty well throughout Orlando. I think he had one off game, but I think he's been pretty well overall through Orlando scrimmages and this game as well.
Yeah, let me ask you real quick before I let you go then about Dario, because I love the role he's been in so far. 13 points, 8 rebounds in 22 minutes, like we mentioned before, for Dario last night, really embracing this six-man role. And Cam Johns kind of takes this starting four role and runs with it. Do you like having Dario on this team? Let's say his restricted tag next year is $5.1 million. I think that makes so much sense if you're going to, let's say, decline Frank Kaminsky's $5 million team option. Just use that money instead on Dario Saric, be like kind of your seventh or eighth man, maybe you're even the sixth man off the bench, giving you about 20 minutes per game in a 4-5 role. I think Dario fits really well off the bench in that kind of area, and he's showing that so far.
Yeah, I agree. I think he fits well with the team. I mean, I think it still depends on how much money he'll make in restricted free agency. But I agree. I think he fits the team well. I think we've talked about how we think that Cam Johnson should be starting, so he might be off the bench next year. But yeah, I think he brings an interesting skill set to the team for sure.
Zach, before I let you go as well, now the Suns are 2-0 in the Orlando bubble, 28-39 in the season. What's your biggest things you're looking forward to these next six games for the Suns? They play the Clippers next, so this magical run of maybe going 8-0 and sneaking into this playing game might be off the table. But how important do you think these next six games are for the Suns team after we've seen the last two, how really the urgency is on for them?
Yeah, I think they're really important. Whether they win or lose, I don't think it's that important. Because, yeah, like you said, playoffs are very long shot right now, but just being competitive in these games, getting Ayton, Bridges, Cam Johnson, these guys opportunity to continue to grow, and even Devin Booker, just getting him in more of these more competitive games, it's important for the team. I think my main thing I will look forward to is still going to be DeAndre Ayton, just see if he's going to continue to shoot. I think if he continues to shoot throughout the rest of Orlando, and that's going to be very promising heading into next year. We're still like him to be more strong around the basket and go up. But yeah, I think just seeing him continue to shoot from three is probably what I'll be looking forward to most, as well as Cam Johnson keeping up this hot stretch.
Zach, really appreciate the time, man. You guys can go follow Zach on Twitter if you're not already, at ZachMilner13. Please go read his work as well over on The Step. He does awesome work there as well. Zach, we're going to have you back on here very soon as draft season approaches, because I love talking draft with you, and that's going to be coming around very soon, because I know the Suns are probably one of the more intriguing teams as that goes, where they go point guard, power forward, best player available. Maybe they go with a wing like Devin Vassell. Who knows? But we're going to have you back on here very soon to talk drafts. So I appreciate the time, man.
Thanks for having me.